This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by O-Line Grill at Westport Road in Hurstbourne Lane. Make O-Line your sports-watching home for the University of Louisville Cardinals, NFL, NASCAR, and more. Enjoy great package deals on beer and food like The Kickoff, a pitcher and an appetizer for just $11. Plus, text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one entree from O-Line Grill. Do it now!
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media. A Louisville.am production.
Welcome to the Crunch Zone podcast with Louisville.am. My name is Mark Blankenbaker. I am here by myself today here in the Louisville.am studios without my normal counterpart, Mike Lindsay. Mike is in Colorado, and you know, there's a lot to cover. I wish I had it to bounce off him, but I don't. So we're just going to do this, and this is the Crunch Zone podcast. We're coming to you right now. All right, so you know it's been a busy week already, and it's Thursday. Obviously, you know, the biggest story that's come out, the Crunch Zone actually hasn't even posted a story on it because, you know, as what we feel like our place isn't as an investigative arm. That's really set up for the Courier Journal, for people like WDRB now even, and their web facility with their top-notch journalists and Eric Crawford and Rick Bozick. And, you know, Kevin Ware misses his court date. He's driving 90 in a Matt Case's vehicle. He borrowed his car. It's his friend. You know, I didn't really have a big knee-jerk reaction to it, to be honest with you. It wasn't something that I felt like ever really was something to be worried about. I mean, there was a couple times where, you know, you're like, you know, maybe there's something there. Maybe they're going to look into it. But at the end of the day, you know, the more that people look into things, if you've done things the right way, if people in your program have followed the rules, people can look into it all day long. Adam Himmelsbach did a nice job. Tim Sullivan, he's taken a lot of heat for, you know, kind of the way he went about it. But you know what? They're going to look into it. It's their job. They have editors. They have, you know, they have bosses that are going to basically say, if you're not going to investigate this, you're going to go and you're going to run a blog or you're going to do something else. So these guys have jobs. They went out. They got to the bottom of it. They still don't feel like maybe they have the entire story, but the University of Louisville has done their investigation. Kevin Ware and Shane Bohannon, for that matter, have been cleared of that, this entire situation. And Kevin Ware, you know, I think he realizes his celebrity a little bit, to be honest with you. I think him, you know, he can't just go out and get a speeding ticket and miss his court date in a place that's very Kentucky heavy by a state trooper who, by the way, is also very Kentucky interested. So, you know, it's sort of a championship, you know, thing for Kentucky fans to sort of, you know, beat their chest about, because let's face it, there hasn't been anything to really celebrate lately if you're the University of Kentucky. We don't need to go into them, because honestly, one of the reasons why we didn't really cover this to crunchzone.com is because this was a Kentucky generated you know, news piece. It really was. I mean, you know, WHAS reported it, and then it could have stopped from there. But then it was fueled really from Kentucky rumor people, you know, people on Twitter, other blogs, in the Kentucky space, you know, really kind of fueling the fire and fueling the interest and fueling the intrigue. And for us, you know, I didn't feel like the University of Louisville did anything wrong. I felt like if something happened, the Courier Journal was going to find it and they would report on it. And at that point, then that would be time to speculate and for us to react. So we didn't do it. And, you know, I hope you appreciate that. I know that we definitely forfeited a lot of clicks over to our competition, who, you know, they were happy to report on it. They were happy to speculate on it. That's not something we did. We really like to focus on things like this podcast, things like our videos that, you know, hopefully you enjoyed the 100 years of Louisville basketball that Crum's Revenge put together. You know, we like to do analysis. We like to do opinion. And really, without information and knowing, honestly, a lot of the people who were involved in this story, we didn't feel like it was our place to stick our nose, because let's face it, we'd be biased, and I don't want to tell you something, and I don't want to get your hopes up and say everything's going to be okay, even though I feel that way, if it maybe not, if it's not going to do it, because I'm not going to do that investigation. I'm not going to call people I know and ask them uncomfortable questions. That's not who our role is. Now, if it was my job, absolutely. If I worked for the Courier Journal, if I was Jeff Greer, if I was on the beat of the University of Louisville, I would absolutely do that. But that's not our role here in Louisville Athletics. It's not our role here in this podcast and our blog. So we do the fun stuff. We like to do things that are going to make you think when it comes down to who's going to win a game. What kind of fun are we going to have? You know, like this weekend, University of Louisville is going to have senior night against Memphis. It's going to be cold. You're going to have to bring your thermocares out. You're going to have your jackets. You're going to need some toboggans. You're going to need your toasty toes. But guess what? It's all going to be worth it, because at noon, University of Louisville seniors, guys like Preston Brown, guys like Marcus Smith, a whole host of guys. I mean, really, Damian Copeland. I mean, Brandon Dunn, Roy Filon, Hakeem Smith. There really, really, really are a lot of great kids that we're going to say goodbye to for the last game ever in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. And one of the people who's not going to be honored will be Teddy Bridgewater. And Charlie Strong said at his press conference on Monday that he's never, ever seen a junior be honored in college football. He said he's just never even seen it happen. He just doesn't know about it happening. Doesn't think that it should happen. So Teddy isn't somebody who's going to, that we're going to be able to, you know, stand up and give a round of applause to. Now, I think a lot of people probably will do a Teddy chant, and I hope that people throw in a Preston chant. I hope people throw in a honey mustard chant, and for everybody else that is actually saying goodbye. And don't forget the walk-ons. When you're in the stands of Papa John's Cardinal Stadium and you hear a kid's name who you've never heard of, like a Chris Walker or even a scholarship player, like maybe if you've never heard of Champ Lee, if you're just a casual fan, these guys put in a lot of work, and the student managers that they're going to honor and the student trainers that they're going to honor that are seniors that are doing their last game at Papa John's Stadium, they're going to be doing a lot of work. They've done a lot of work. They put them in just as much time. They've shown up for the same meetings, for the same training sessions, for the same mat drills, and so they deserve your round of applause. And guys like Teddy, guys like Calvin Pryor, who probably also is playing his final game in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, they deserve applause too, because they've had an incredible run here at the University of Louisville. This is your Sugar Bowl champions, and we don't know what else they're going to do here. Maybe it's the Russell Athletic Bowl. Maybe it's BCS if UCF decides to start losing. It looks like they may with the whole Temple situation last week. Just really honestly, just think about what happened since the program, since these kids came from high school with the program, with Charlie Strong's first year number one, and what has happened in this program since they've arrived. And I think if you really reflect back and you think about where this program was before Charlie Strong arrived and where it is now today, I think that you really be your appreciation will be easy. And I think the coaching staff really wants the stadium to be 55,000 strong. And, there's no reason why it shouldn't be, even if it's cold.
The O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream at the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane. See the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
You know, the Cards also had an addition to their 2014 basketball recruiting class. It was a surprise. We were looking at a big man, Bakari Kanate, is somebody we thought the University of Louisville would sign, and it was not him. They actually added a center from Norway. His name is Matt Stockman, Mats with a Z. It's not a silent consonant, actually. We were all hoping that we could add the silent consonant to guys like, Montrezl Harrell and Mango Mathiang. And, you know, I really feel bad, honestly, for Vern Lindquist, by the way, for all the names that he's going to have to deal with in the pronunciation guide for any of the CBS games that are coming up. And Vern may want to retire, but it's going to be a lot of fun watching him you know, try to make all those pronunciations, and you know, we'll see if they actually do. So, you know, that's exciting. We're excited to see Matt's. Rick Pitino said that if he were in the United States, he'd be a top three center, and currently he's not rated, but he will be in Connecticut as it stands. At the same time, the University of Louisville is in Connecticut this weekend, and they actually play at 2 o'clock. On Saturday, it'll be kind of happening simultaneously with the football game, which starts at noon. We'll probably get to halftime. The basketball game will start, and so there'll be a lot of people in the press box and maybe even in Papa John's Cardinal Stadium if they can get a signal on their cell phones, watching on Watch ESPN, which is the only place that game one will be available. So we're going to be paying attention to that. We'll also be paying attention to the game, the Richmond-North Carolina game, which Louisville will play the winner or loser is, and determining – based on their result, which we assume they win, since they are on a 20-game win streak, the longest in school history. The program has never won 20 straight games. They obviously won 16 in a row to win the national championship in Atlanta and bring home the third national title in school history. And that winning streak has continued on, which is kind of a funny stat, because in 1980, they won the championship in the first game in 1980-81 season they lost. And then when they won the championship in 1986, the first game in the 86-87 season, the Louisville Cardinals lost. So for this team, they've actually bucked the trend and gone in the first game of the 2013-2014 season, following their 2013 national championship, the University of Louisville has won their first game, and obviously they're now 4-0. They're going to go into this weekend, and hopefully they can get to 6-0. But the women are also just playing incredible basketball. They won the NIT for the women. They went to Oklahoma. They won that on their home floor. It was in overtime. They overcame a lot of bad officiating. They had huge threes, clutch threes, honestly. And, you know, that was just an incredible time. You know, it's a really good sign of things to come for the University of Louisville women's basketball program, who was the national runner-up last year and did it while they were basically banged up. And now, right now, they look like they're mostly healthy, and they have a chance to really make a strong push for another run and deep into the NCAA tournament. You never know what's going to happen once you're there, just like the men. But I think, you know, I've really kind of brushed over this whole entire Kevin Ware situation, and I really hope that that you kind of understand why, because everybody's talking about it, and you know, I've made my comments on Twitter and things like that, but it's a speeding ticket. He missed a court date. He borrowed a friend's car. I don't know what else there's to talk about. I mean, we can try to figure out who Matt Case is, and we can say that he's friends with Gorgui Jang and Peyton Siva, and you know, I'm sure those guys have other friends too, and apparently you know, college basketball players have friends. I mean, can you imagine that at a program like the University of Louisville, which is the highest rated local broadcast city for college basketball, that the national championship team would have popular guys on it, and that they would also have friends, and that also the guy who broke his leg in the Elite Eight and was sort of the biggest story in college basketball in the NCAA tournament last year, can you believe that that guy has a friend that would lend him a car? I mean, can you believe that? I mean, is it believable that a guy who could capture the hearts and minds and go on David Letterman's top 10, show his personality, rally around his teammates, say, win the game, don't worry, Mom, I'm okay. Is it possible that that guy has a friend that happened before then, that a person with that type of magnetic personality that could go on Good Morning America, who could carry ESPN commercial free for a half an hour while he basically has an emotional rant, is it possible that that guy has a friend who would lend him a vehicle? Lend him a vehicle that would not violate NCAA rules. Is that surprising to anybody out there? Now, I know that this you know, maybe I'm not, you know, syndicated. You know, maybe there's not a lot of people out there, but I can pretty much tell you right away that people like Kevin Ware have friends. And they're going to make friends throughout life. They're going to do it at the University of Louisville. They're going to do it when they leave University of Louisville. He did it in high school. He probably did it in middle school. We can probably guarantee he did it while he was in diapers. Because, you know, it's just not something that you teach. It's not something that you just are just one day the light comes on and people are drawn to you. And you know what? He drove 95, 90, maybe, I don't know. But he did it on a stretch of road that was under construction. And that's not great, but I've been 21, I've been 20, I've driven fast, I've driven faster than that, and you know, thankfully I didn't get caught. And the tickets that I've received in my life, I did pay, and I showed up on court. I actually won a case against a police officer one time, if you can believe it or not, for speeding, because I paid all my other fines, and I said if I wouldn't waste my time, I'd just pay the fine. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Kevin Ware made a mistake. If people want to throw gasoline on the fire and try to make mountains out of molehills, especially from the Kentucky side, you might want to think about where that's coming from. You know, Rick Pitino said, do your homework. You know, I don't care who put it out there. You know, in terms of the blog or the radio show host that put it out there, honestly, it doesn't matter. Where it's coming from is deep down inside the psyche of Kentucky fans. It's coming down into the soul of a Kentucky fan who just, literally, think about it, they won a national championship in 2012. They won two games in football in 2012. They had the number one recruiting class in the country for the 2012-13 season, and they pounded their chest and they said, look, we're going to come in and we're going to repeat. We're not even, you know, it's they were calling themselves the Monstars. It was awesome. Everybody that they had coming in was going to be great. They flamed out. They went into the NIT. They lost to a team named Robert Morris, who now everybody calls, you know, Bob Morris. And we, you know, I like to call Kentucky fans Bob now. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of played out now because, you know, I don't really care. Honestly, I don't really care about Kentucky, but the thing is, it's like when you go through an NIT basketball, you know, season, when you lose in the first round of the NIT and you think that you have a chance to repeat, and then you go through an era where you fire a coach like Jugler Phillips, you win two games, and then all of a sudden Mark Stoops comes in here, one of the Stoops, I don't know, whichever Stoops they want to clone and bring over here, it is Mark, but he comes in and they start recruiting. And recruiting's better than it has ever been. It's still last in the SEC last year, by the way. We haven't finished up this year. We'll see how they finish up. But they have great recruiting. Awesome. Then, you know, it's going to be Stoops Troops and the Nation Arises. And, you know, now we have basketball and we have the Twins are coming and blah, 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 blah. And all these other guys are coming and it's going to be amazing. It's just a lot of the same stuff that we heard the year before. And then you come into football season and, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to Big Blue Nation awakes, and you win two games. You win two games. You can't fill up. It looks like a lot of last year. And when you're the University of Kentucky, that's frustrating. And then, you know, your rival, University of Louisville, wins the Sugar Bowl. They win a national championship. They have the year of the Cardinal. They go to the College World Series. You didn't qualify for the NCAA postseason. The women's team goes to the national championship game. Your women's team didn't qualify for the postseason. All the major sports didn't qualify for the postseason. And then you come up with, with this incredible recruiting class, and you think that, hey, we're going to roll over. We're going to do 40-0. We're going to, you know, and we're going to beat Michigan State, and we're going to stake our flag right away. And you go down 10-0 in the early in the first half. And you make a great comeback, but you lose, and 40-0 is gone. And now, University of Louisville, your rival, who you've talked a lot of trash to all year long, now they pass you in the polls. And let's get real. University of Louisville and their fans, they don't care about the basketball polls. It doesn't matter. Basketball polls don't matter like football polls do. Because in basketball, you get in the tournament, you can play whoever you want to. You can make it happen. You can get it to go you know, whenever you want to do that. So I just think that, you know, that's probably where this is all coming from. There's a lot of frustration on that side. There's a lot of, you know, probably desire to make to get something going on with the University of Louisville to say, hey, look, and you know, we've seen some things happen with the University of Louisville. There's been Clint Hurt situation. That wasn't a lot of fun to sit around and wait for the NCAA to make a decision on. They leveled his show cause. Tom Church stuck with him. There was a lot of talk about, hey, you know, you're going to do this, and you know, a lot of chatter from the Kentucky side. Nothing really happened the way they wanted it to happen. Then you have an extortion attempt. Again, a second one. This guy is from Mississippi. You had the Shane Bohannon suspension. There's been other things that have happened within the program that with everything that has happened with the University of Louisville's success and the University of Kentucky's non-success, that some of this, I think, has really fueled some of this fire, especially on the blog side and the fan side. And so this is really a fan-driven argument where people are throwing fuel on the fire of a non-story and making a story. And let me get real. You know, December 28th is one game, and it doesn't even really matter. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, it's a non-conference game. Both teams are going to be really good. I hope, like crazy, they are on opposite sides of the bracket come NCAA tournament time, because I think that they could definitely potentially make an incredible national championship game if it happens. But coming up to December 28th, this game could be amazing atmosphere in Russ Arena, Rupp Arena, whatever you want to call it, okay? But, you know, you think about, like this is – we're 40 days out, and this is happening. What's going to happen the weeks leading up to this game? If Louisville can get past this weekend and then and really kind of coast all the way – let's be honest, coast all the way to December 28th, and I know Kentucky has at least a couple more – you know, tough games out of conference before December 28th. I'm not entirely sure of their schedule, but the rivalry aspect that's happening right now is way, way past the court, because I'm going to be honest with you, the players, they honestly like each other. They talk. You know, it's fun. If they were in the same city, they'd play pickup all the time. I promise you that. A lot of these guys played AAU. They know the same people. So for the players, This is a game. They're not from here. This is a fan-driven deal, and maybe administration's involved. I don't know, okay? But it's been a kind of a crazy couple of days. I'm honestly not worried about it. I spent way more time than just now talking about it than I really wanted to. But I just think that it had to be said, and I had to talk about like why we as a blog did not really put anything on our website. It was a choice. We could have put Kevin Ware up stuff up, you know, hour after hour after hour. People would have clicked it. We would have made money, you know. But we didn't think that there was a story there. We needed facts. We knew that Kevin missed a court date. We knew that he had a speeding ticket. We knew he was driving someone else's car. That was all I knew. I knew that the Courier Journal was going to do their investigation. I knew the University of Louisville was going to do their investigation. Some people say it's a quick investigation, but if it's dead end, it's a dead end. And, you know, I know that people will continue to dig, and I know that the investigation is not closed at the University of Louisville, put it, because, you know, it would be silly on their part to close the investigation. I think that they're going to tie up their loose ends. They're going out of town this weekend. I think that's plenty of time before they come back to the University of Louisville and the Yum Center. And, you know, let the story run its course. Let the investigation continue. Let journalists who are you know, experienced in uncovering these types of things look into it. Let the NCAA come down, because if you're clean, it doesn't matter. You can investigate for days, but you cannot make up something that isn't true. So if you're a University of Louisville fan like me and you think that the program is clean like I think it is, then you're not worried about an investigation. You don't care because you have a guy like Tom Church. Now, can there be rogue things that happen? Like this, like maybe Matt Case, let's just say he was an agent. Let's say he was an agent for a sports agency and he was accredited with the NBA and had all this stuff. Could that happen and Tom Church not know about it? It could happen. You know, it could happen. You could have a player who doesn't care about the program. You could have an agent who doesn't care about the program. And coaches maybe, you know, not having their eyes open. They get busy. They have personal problems at home because let's face it, these guys are not they are not with their families as much as a lot of people here listening are. They make a lot of money, but they pay for it. They really do with their families, and so you can get distracted. And you know, I would hope that that would never happen. I would hope it would never happen at the University of Louisville or any other school, because rules are rules, and you hope that people follow them. And I think the university is, and I don't think Kevin Ware did anything wrong. I don't think Matt Case did anything wrong. I don't think anybody else that whose name was mentioned in the report was wrong. And you know, I'm not even really going to talk about any of the basketball games that have actually happened. You know, since the University level started, but their season. But you know, the university they look great. The backcourt, in my opinion, is awesome. I think that you look at a guy like Chris Jones. He's making assists. He's getting steals. He's rebounding the ball. He's shooting. I think the reason why people probably are liking Chris Jones at this point, you know, as a change to Peyton Siva, is because he does shoot the ball. When he goes into the lane, he's more likely to shoot than he is to pass. And those passes that Peyton Siva was making, let's face it, they were going off Shane Bohannon's hands or Gorgie's hands or Wayne Blackshear's hands or Luke Hancock, and they were going out of bounds, and Louisville's losing the possession. They weren't getting the shot up. Now, Chris Jones, yeah, maybe it's not as good of a shot, but he's getting it up there, and they're going in quite often. And Chris isn't as good of a free throw shooter as Peyton Siva. I don't know about his on the ball defense yet, because you know, let's face it, he's not playing upper tier competition. But I think that he changes the way the offense is run, because he is a pass first, or a pass second. He's a shoot first point guard. The alley oop is going to be there way more, especially with the guys like Montrezl Harrell and Shane Bohannon. Those guys will score more with a pass second point guard than they would with Peyton Siva, in my opinion. And the guards like Wayne Blackshear and Luke Hancock are going to have to look for their own shot a little bit more when they get their opportunities. Russ Smith looks amazing. He's a better passer. He's a better teammate. I think he's better all the way around. The new rules help him. I mean, he did incredible things last year and scoring the basketball. I think he's going to score at the same rate he did last year. I think he's going to have more assists. He could potentially have more steals and be the all-time steal leader at the University of Louisville. And then you go down. I think the three spot is super, super solid when you look at Luke Hancock and Wayne Blackshear as a rotation that could happen. And then even sometimes they've already played on the floor at the same exact time. It's been great. Wayne is much more aggressive. The new rules with the fouling has hurt Luke Hancock a little bit, because he is not as fast in his feet as he probably needs to be for the new rules. But if they can rotate and he can adjust, because he did adjust last year, early on last year, his defense at this time of the year last year was just awful. And Rick Pitino would tell you that, and I think Luke would even tell you that. So Luke's made his adjustments before. He can make them again, you know, but by and large, across the board in college basketball, players will be getting beat off the bounce more often than they ever have been, and people will get fouled in the lane, and it's just going to come down to free throw shooting like it always has been. But this is going to be more of a freedom of movement game, so guys who can slide their feet on defense are going to be better off, and they're going to be able to stay on the floor longer than guys who can't. The power forward position, Shane Bohannon, Montrezl Harrell, so great 1-2 combo, but they're going to have to play a lot with Steven Ventries and Mango Mathiang sort of, you know, coming on at the center spot. You know, Steven Ventries is he's a very good center, but he's no Gorgui Dieng, and there's no Gorgui Dieng on this team, and that's really the difference. But when you plug in a Montrezl Harrell into the five spot and you put a Chris Jones at point guard with the same tools that you had last year, now you're really fast. Now you're even more dynamic on offense. And so I think that's the difference, and I really think that this Louisville team, like Gorgui said that it could be better than it was last year. Now that remains to be seen. We're going to see this team's going to get tested much less often this year than they did last year. The schedule is much like the football schedule. It's not that strong. And, you know, I'm really excited, honestly. The reason why the game December 28th against Kentucky is exciting is because it's one of the few teams that will really challenge Louisville. And you're going to get challenged from Memphis. You're going to get challenged from Temple. Maybe UConn. You play a lot of those teams twice. But by and large, you know, there's not the top team like they had on the schedule. Like a Syracuse was a Final Four team. They played them three times last year. That's not going to happen with the schedule, unfortunately. So we'll see what happens. And when Mike gets back from the from Colorado, he's going to put 100 years of Louisville basketball together. He's going to put it on our website, and you're going to be able to watch all 20 minutes of it in one sitting, narrated by Rick Pitino, Denny Crum, Paul Rogers, and Jerry Jones, a former assistant coach, long time during the 80s. And I just really want to thank everybody who helped put that together, from Kenny Klein to the coaches themselves, and you know, just anybody who sent song ideas or sent clips over Mike's way. I know he worked really hard on it. It meant a lot to him to have you guys involved with that, and that was a big deal. And just a couple other things, you know, Calvin Pryor is probably gone. Devontae Parker probably stays. Teddy Bridgewater probably gone. Be in your seats at kickoff for these seniors. Be at Card March at 9:45, Papa John's Cardinal Stadium against Memphis. It really means a lot for these guys who've spent their last 4 years or more as a part of the program to come in and, you know, get that appreciation for the last time that they're going to play on their home turf. They're going to close the season out in 2 weeks in Cincinnati on a Thursday night, and then they will have a bowl game, which, you know, might be at the same exact time as the Kentucky game, or at least the same exact day as the Kentucky game on December 28th. And if that happens, a lot of these guys may not ever feel the appreciation like they felt in the Sugar Bowl on Bourbon Street. So this is your last moment. It is going to be cold, and I really think that you should get out there, and I know that everybody with the football program would appreciate that. So one last little nugget before we head out of here. The University of Louisville has requested an RFP out to several contractors to study the feasibility of expanding the north end zone towards the Howard Schnellenberger complex. It's something that, you know, a lot of fans like me have wanted for a long time, to close the north end zone, to create an atmosphere that really is like a top shelf, you know, college football atmosphere, when you have your end zone closed, when your stadium is fully enclosed. Because right now, you can see those silos. I know they're going to come down eventually. You can see the silos. You can see the building. I don't know. It just doesn't look the same. It doesn't look as awesome as it does when you're looking south and you're in the crunch zone. And, you know, the crunch zone to us is a special place. And I hope that both end zones are the crunch zone, to be honest with you. But the crunch zone is a special place. That's why we named our website after the crunch zone, because those are where the real fans are. You've been there for years. We appreciate that. There's not really any corporate seats over there. It's very fan-oriented. You're loud. You have fun. You enjoy the game. You know football in the crunch zone. And it would be great to expand that to the north side, get another crunch zone, expand the crunch zone. Just expand the great fan base that has been growing here at the University of Louisville football, because if they get a good number, and it doesn't even really have to be a good, like an awesome number, to be honest with you, but U of L set a record for attendance at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium and in school history this year, if Saturday goes well against Memphis. I know it's going to be cold, but it shouldn't be close. And Memphis has a great defense. We're not really going to spend a lot of time on that today. But, you know, next time you hear from me, the University of Louisville will be 10-1 in football. They will be 6-0 in basketball. And the win streak in basketball will be 22-0. And we'll be getting ready for a Cincinnati contest to close out the season. And maybe if UCF cooperates, will be a game that could possibly get Louisville back into conversation to win part of the conference title. So, you know, lots going to happen. Remember, November, it is a big month. A lot's going to happen. Football's coming to a close. Football or basketball is ramping up in a big way. Who knows what's going to happen a week from now? This city is crazy on sports. And, you know, you got to feel bad for the guys like Jeff Greer who are covering this every day. want to say thank you to the O-Line Sports Grill for our sponsors. Stop in there for wings. They're the best wings in the city. We do game watches in there from time to time. The last one we packed to the gills, and people had to go away because we were over fire code. We appreciate that. We appreciate you showing up. You've been listening to the Crunch Zone. We'll be talking to you later. Go Cards.
Cars forever. I promise to rep the veal and nothing.